Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
1 Peter chapter 4. We want to today get into, I think, a very interesting study, a very much of a life-changing study. And we're talking about the grace of God. We've been teaching on grace now for several of the sessions on the last several weeks. And we're again coming back to the topic of grace, because grace is everything that God has that God makes available to us. Say, Lord, thank you for your grace. Making available to me everything you have. 1 Peter chapter 4, we have PowerPoint slides on the screen. Before we change, I'll go to our first scripture. Look at the screen here for a moment. Look at this picture here, this graphic. Grace, an empowered life, not barcode religion. And the scripture below that from 1 Peter 4 and 10. Now you see here in the background, it's a store, it's a shop with all types of things to purchase and wear, to purchase and own. And we'll come back to that and talk to you about how that the barcode is something we use on products that we sell. And there's a correlation between the barcode and how God does not want us to have what I'll call barcode faith. So stay tuned and I'll explain that, okay? First of our text, 1 Peter chapter 4 from verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold or many-sided grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, it's a very key statement here, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Say, Lord, thank you for grace that empowers my life. Thank you, Lord. I do not have a barcode religion. Next scripture is from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 says, do not neglect the gift or grace that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Now, in context, it's talking about when Timothy was ordained to ministry, that he received laying on of hands. You've seen us do that before. We've prayed over ministers and ordained and licensed ministers. He says, so don't neglect the gift that is in you, he says, which was given to you by prophecy and laying on of hands. Now, whether you're a minister or not, we all have grace from God. Amen? He says, don't neglect the grace that God has given you, whether it's ministerial or otherwise. God has given all of us grace. He says, which was given to us. He says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to these things, the things of grace, what God's doing, that your progress may be evident to all. Now, understand this, that grace enables and empowers everything. Say, Lord, thank you that your grace enables and empowers everything. So grace is the hub of all fruitful, authentic activity. So a hub would be something like, you know, we have in our world of computers, for example, if you're into doing video production or doing music production, then you've got a hub that is a certain computer. You attach all those things to it. You've got software in it. And that's the hub of your production. All that you do comes out of that particular system. You connect devices to it. If you're into photography, connect your camera to it. And so that computer serves as a hub that the central processing unit, we call it, will empower and enable everything you do in the area of photography, video, production, whatever you're doing. But grace is much more than that. It's like that, but much more. That when grace is the hub of your life, then all of your fruitful activity, all of your authentic activity will come out of grace. Now, I don't know about you, but I played church for a while. You know, I went to church. I wasn't saved. You know the story. And so I did little things. I was a junior deacon, whatever that is. I was a junior deacon, came to church high, all that, okay? Because, you know, it wasn't my hub. Jesus wasn't my hub. I was my hub. You know what I'm saying? And so I just put stuff in my life when I thought it fit, you know, the persona I wanted to project. So going to church is one of those things when I went, because I didn't have grace as a hub. So I was not authentic. I was inauthentic. You know what I'm saying? It's like pleather, right? Come on, somebody. You know what pleather is, right? F, leather, fake leather, okay? Which looks pretty good. In fact, I bought something in the store. Thought it was leather, you know. It looked good to me. Even smelled good. I'm like, how'd they do that? So, but authentic is still better than inauthentic. And what you have from God, grace is authentic. Grace is real. Grace is powerful. Grace is everything that you need. Amen. Grace is more than a mindset. Grace is a virtue and a power at work inside of believers in Christ. So while some religions say, well, read this and think this way and have a mindset, well, we have the mind of Christ, but the central core to our faith is not a mindset. We actually have something working on the inside of us. We have received something powerful, something real, something very personal. It's way past the mindset. Amen, somebody. Because mindsets change all the time. You can think this today and that tomorrow and read this, hear that, hear the other, even about God. I watched the documentary. I took the risk of watching the History Channel, you know, all these Bible documentaries. They're always weird, you know. I just stopped watching them. So I took a chance and watched one on Noah's Ark. They made Noah's Ark be a big round thing. It looked like one of those pools you blow up and put in your backyard. It was round. Somehow they figured out, they said the ark had to be round. And so the whole basis of the documentary was that the Bible was wrong, and we found out, you know, that the Bible is, you know, that the ark is actually round. I just stopped watching, so I don't know what else I said. You can look it up if you want to. But that's what's called inauthentic. That when people just, without the grace of God, just go making things up. Go making stuff up without the grace of God as the hub of their activity. Another phrase here. Now, grace is intrinsic, not extrinsic. That word intrinsic just means this. It means belonging to the essential nature of a thing, occurring as a natural part of something. So intrinsic is, this is what is on the inside. This is what's a part of me. This is who I actually am. And so that when you have the grace of God in you, then grace is intrinsic working in you, then grace is the essential nature that you possess. Amen. And so then, because you have grace within you, you're motivated a certain way. And the things you want to do, the things you actually do, they all come out of that intrinsic nature of the grace of God in you. God, through new birth, through Christ's sacrifice, through the Holy Spirit, has put in us a new spirit, a new heart. Amen. It's called the new birth. We're called new creations in Christ. And so when the grace of God is working, then it's authentic. It's powerful. You have no need to posture, you know, to try to act a certain way or look a certain way. I mean, we should look, you know, we should be presentable always. But I could, you know, you could wear jeans and T-shirt and be authentically saved. Come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, we're not caught up on a clothesline religion thing, you know. The point is that then someone who's all dressed up could be totally fake. So we don't know. A tree is known by its what? We don't know what you are by what you present. We only know what we are by what we actually do. By the grace of God coming forth from us. So then grace is intrinsic, not extrinsic. So you can put on the hat and the suit and tie and all that, and it doesn't mean anything about our nature. Amen. Like the old saying is, you know, if going to church would make you a Christian, then going to the garage would make you a car. That's pretty trite. But there's some truth in that. That is not who you associate with and where you go to church at. That's not what makes you. It's Jesus who makes you who you are. Amen. It's the grace of God that creates in us whatever we need to have created. Now, listen, grace cannot produce religion. God only produces empowering relationships. See, so that when God's grace is working, that means relationship is working. Between you and God, between you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, there's some kind of relationship at work when the grace of God is operating. Now, when there's not grace operating, then we have people operating, then we have religion. And so that religion then is a set of do's and don'ts performed in one's own strength that people can turn on and turn off whenever they please. And that's my definition. And I live that definition. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I've been religious. And you know, now I'm in the kingdom. And that when I was religious and going to church, whatever I did, then I had either I was told or adopted a set of do's and don'ts. If you do the do's and don't do the don'ts, you'll be okay with God. And folk had their own list of do's and don'ts. Most of them, you know, not even scripture-based or half a scripture here and there. But the worst part of the whole deal was it was always done in one's own strength. It was my power, my decision, my choice to do or not do. And so then I was the master of my soul. I was thinking, well, I thought I was the master of my soul. I had the mindset that I'm shaping my own destiny. And so that when religion's operating, the grace of God is not operating because you can't have both. And so that the other part of this is that when I had religion, when I had it, I would turn it on and turn it off. So, you know, Saturday night, it was off. It was off. You know what I'm saying? I'm down partying, or I was throwing a party, whatever. But on Sunday morning, I turned it on. I turned my religion on. Went to church, you know, my granddad's church. I had favor. I mean, I'm the grandson. I ran through there buck wild. I acted like I had some sense. I didn't have any sense. I was playing with them, playing with God. Now, some folks saw it. You know, I'm sure people, Christians see things they don't say, you know what I'm saying. Amen. That's Pastor Grant's, look at him. But they were praying for me, though. You know, they tolerated my foolishness, you know. They all praying for me, you know. I didn't go a lot, but when I went, I was just turning things off. But then when Jesus got a hold of me, oh, praise God, when all those prayers got answered, when grace began to work in my life, I lost control of my life. I lost control of the things around me because then God was showing me, now, son, it's enough of this here. You're going to see some power now. That's another long story. The point, though, is when I encountered the grace of God, that was about relationship. So then I understood I don't have religion. I got a relationship. That's a really big point. That you don't have, when you're serving God, you don't have religion. You have a relationship. Intrinsic relationship. Not extrinsic, not outwardly, but inwardly. Therefore, the grace of God then becomes the hub of the life of a believer. And so when I became a follower of Christ, and then empowered through that grace of God. Well, then I began to experience peace, joy. I began to be empowered and enabled to do things genuinely and authentically and effectively for God. I praise God for that. I got saved on July 8th, 1978. In fact, I remembered on Monday, that last Sunday, the 8th of July, was my 40th year of being born again. I got saved on July 8th, 1978. Been saved for 40 years. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God. That's my 40th. And my mom's birthday was also on July 8th, too. And I got saved in her house, her and dad's house, on her birthday. That's when I got saved. It was a good day, y'all. That was a good day. That was a really good day. July 8th, 1978. So I'm saying to you that I was steeped in religion and came to find out how empty it was, but how through grace, the relationship I received through Christ changed everything. Amen. All right. Now, Peter said something. He said there in 1 Peter 4, he said in verse 10 there, but to each one, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Then if you speak, speak as the oracle of God. If you minister, here it is, do it with the ability which God supplies. Say the ability that God supplies. Now, make no mistake, you have abilities. You have a lot of little abilities. You have ability. You have things you've learned, things you're talented in doing, things you have been trained to do, and all that is a part of your life. But do not mistake that for the ability which God supplies. It's different. And God can use what you already have. But the thing is, if we're going to be religious about it, then we'll be in our own strength. We'll be doing stuff, turning on and turning off religion and using our abilities and so forth. But when we have the grace of God operating, then we're tapping into his ability. Amen, somebody. Amen. And when you get into God's ability, you're going to go beyond even what you've learned to do. You're going to have grace to do things you've never done before, things you could not do until he gave you that grace. Amen, somebody. Amen. So then, grace then is God's ability. But grace does not exclude doing good works. So it's not that. Listen, we don't work to be saved. But when a person is genuinely saved, they're going to reflect and from their life will flow the evidence and blessings of the ability of God they have received. Please hear that. When I was religious, I could say prayers. I would say a prayer over a meal and so forth, so on. I would say prayers. But when grace came, I would pray a prayer. Come on now, saying a prayer is one thing. Praying a prayer is actually something else. See, that religion, again, we turn things on, turn things off in our own strength. But through the grace of God, then we're empowered. He becomes the hub of our lives. Now, let me share with you an example of this. Look at Exodus 33, Moses. Then we'll talk about the barcode faith in a moment here. But Moses is an example of how the grace of God became the hub of his life. In fact, his encounter with grace is the first mention of grace in the Bible, so it's very instructive for us. But Exodus 33, and let's pick up from verse 11. It says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he will return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, If I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." This is a powerful encounter here. First of all, it says that Moses spoke, God spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Now, Moses didn't actually see the face of God. He saw a representation of God, because we know that the Bible says no one can see God and live. He saw God in a form. Here's the point, though, that they had relationships. Say relationship. He had a relationship with God, Moses did. And so that in this encounter, one of these encounters, Moses said to the Lord, "You said to me, bring up this people." That is, bring them from Egypt to the promised land. You gave me an assignment, Lord. You gave me an assignment. But you have not let me know how you'll do it and who you will send with me. So Moses is thinking, okay, Lord, now I got an assignment from you. I'm trying to figure out how to get it done. But see, that's the part where he's in his own strength, trying to figure it out. Because the key point here, he said, "You say to me, I have found grace in your sight." Moses recognized he had found grace in the sight of God. That is, he found favor with God. He found God willing to work with him and use him. And Moses had a good sense to recognize, oh, this is a relationship with God I got here. I'm not just trying to get instructions from somewhere. I'm actually connected to the person who gave me the assignment.
Amen.
Amen. You know what I'm saying? And where God guides, he provides.
Amen.
And so he says, "I pray, if I have found grace in your sight." Now here's the demand being placed on the relationship. "If I have found grace in your sight, now show me your way. Show me your way, Lord. Because I don't know what I'm doing." See, when I try to figure this out, I can't make sense of it. The more I try to put my mind on it, the less my mind understands. See, so then he was trying to do religion, but God is saying, no, it's about relationship. It's my strength. It's my ability, right? Grace is what? God's ability. And so the Bible here says that if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. See? So even when Moses discovered the power of grace, watch this. Moses didn't say, okay, now that I know what grace is, now that I have grace in your sight, now that I know what grace is, Lord, gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. That wasn't his response. Watch what he said here. Then Moses said, "You say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name," relationship, "and you have found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way that I may," what? "Know you." Your answer is all wrapped up in knowing God. It's not your strategy. It's not your plan. It's wrapped up in relationship. Say relationship. "That I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight. And Lord, consider this is your nation. These are your people. It's your thing, Lord. This is your thing here, your people. So all I want from you, Lord, I want to know you. Because if I know you, I'll hear from you. If I know you, I'll know where you turn. When you turn left, when you turn right, I will follow you so close because I know you, then I know what to do."
Yeah.
Amazing. You can search and search and search for solutions, but as a believer, grace is your hub. And so the grace of God in you, the relationship, is the key to everything else. Amen. I'm talking now, that's for believers now. Now, secular folk do things secular ways. I'm talking about believers now. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about barcode faith. It's part of the title. Again, the title of today's message is an empowered life, not barcode religion. Now, we all know what a barcode is, right? Yeah. We see barcodes on everything nowadays. You know, all products, books, and things have barcodes. And we know that the barcode is there to identify the product. Is that correct? And so all the products have barcodes attached to them. And the idea is that the scanner responds to the barcode. Is that true?
Yeah.
Now, it makes no difference what is in the bottle. So if the barcode's in a bottle, it makes no difference what's in the bottle or the package that bears the barcode. That is, if the ice cream barcode is on dog food, the dog food is ice cream. You get that? If the barcode that says, or if the product says dog food, the bag, but the scanner reads ice cream on the dog food bag, as far as the scanner is concerned, it is what? Now, this is an important point, because in barcode religion, that's how we operate. We just want to be scanned and come up and say Christian. It don't matter what the product actually is. We just want the thing to scan a certain way. And so religion, then, hear me, is only concerned with the extrinsic, with the outward. I just need to get that barcode that say Christian or say whatever. Now, there's a teaching out there, or a mode of teaching, I'll say, that says that some teach that justification is entirely external work of God. Some teach that a justification happens entirely in God himself. Now, this is kind of a little bit heavy, but just stay with me here. Now, to be justified is to be declared righteous through the work of Christ. That is, we receive Christ, and God's grace works in us, and God does the work, and he does the saving. But the problem with that is, it's kind of a nuanced problem, is that in some theology, in some extreme grace theology, then, you know, whatever you think you have, you have. And the problem with that is, it's like that being a Christian had nothing to do with the kind of person we actually are. But if my mental assent says Christian, I want to believe that. The point is, grace and justification is entirely God's work. No doubt about it. Salvation is entirely of God. Say that. Say salvation is,
salvation
entirely
is.
Of God. Salvation is entirely of God and not of us. That's true. And so that justification is what God does. Hear me. But when you become justified or made righteous by God, you are actually changed. That's the difference. It's not that I just believe it, but I have actually received it. That when the grace of God is at work and the power of God through faith is working, we don't just get a label that can be scanned to come up Christian. We're actually through and through transformed. I'm actually a different person. The label actually matches the package. The product and the label are the same. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
And this is the problem we see today with religion. That we did not just receive a barcode that scans Christian. That was my mindset in my early life, a young man, going to church. Put the barcode on. Scan me. But my life had no correlation between what the scan said and what I actually was. Because, again, the barcode doesn't know. The barcode is what it is. Whatever it's attached to, that's what that the scanner just knows. Whatever that barcode says, the package is what the label says. Well, thank God we have more than that. We are justified. It is a work of God. It's entirely. Listen, y'all, from the gospel being preached to the faith, to believe, to the grace of God. I mean, everything. God even gave you faith to believe him. God did it all. God did everything. Yeah. All I'm saying is, when God finished working, you were changed. If we were genuinely believing and trusting God, whatever God did worked. And so barcode religion is one of the biggest problems in the church today, in the visible church. Just labels without substance. Just scan me, but the package and the product does not match the label. That's no point of condemnation. It's a point of reality. Amen. It's just something we need to be aware of. Amen, somebody. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is doing his part to bring us into relationship with God. I mean, a genuine, authentic walk with God, the relationship. Amen. And so you don't have a label and just a barcode. You have Jesus on the inside of you. And the good news is what he has put within you is his ability. All of us want a better life. Be more effective, be more fruitful, be more helpful. We all want this. We all want the same thing. How do we get there? Well, as believers, we do all things through God, through grace. Through the grace being the ability that God has given. And so that through his ability, we can glorify him. We can do his will and glorify him. Now, there's a counterfeit experience to salvation. And I touched on it a little while ago. Let me kind of repeat this point. That in our own strength, there is a moment of mental assent to a creed. When a person doesn't have the mindset, I really want God in my life. I want Christ. I want all of him. If it's anything like, I just want a little bit. I just want enough. I don't want to get fully into this way of life. So what happens is that kind of person comes in and has what's called mental assent, which means this. In my mind, I ascend in a certain type of thing. I'm thinking that I ascend to think a certain way. And mental ascent can almost look like faith in God, but it's not. Because the ascent was not to God. The ascent was to something I want to do. Something someone said, something I want to believe. And it's enough to keep me out of dying to the old life. It's enough to keep the old one alive. And so that when one mentally ascends to a creed or an association with a church or something like that, then we are told God has scanned you and he says you're forgiven and you're righteous because it has nothing to do with you. It's all about God. Well, there's, yeah, partly true. But again, the point is when God has done his work, you end up changed. Amen, somebody? Amen. We end up, say it, changed. That's not our work. That's God's work. Amen. And that's God's work that can be seen. That's the fruit on the tree. The tree's not working to do anything. But the tree now has become this kind of tree who puts out this kind of fruit. Amen. That is the authentic faith I'm talking about. Amen. Yeah. I've been on both sides of this thing. I understand it. So then, next point here, a genuine experience with saving grace is followed by a willingness to follow Christ with our spirit, soul, body, and actions. Y'all get that?
Amen.
It seems obvious, but I got to say it. When it's mental assent, you don't really change. I mean, I mentioned ascended, went to church, did my thing, and I was back to business as usual when I left there. I mean, when I left there, you know, Elder Owens goes, what's it called? The PX? What's it called? Yeah, what's that? Like the. Yeah, so it's like the military place, all right? Only I knew back then where you can buy liquor on Sunday there. That's all I cared about. That's all I care about. I'm going from church to the PX, you know what I'm saying? Get some brewskis. Never mind. You know what brewskis are. Maybe you do. The point is, I was just scanning. You know, but the funny part was, I think people around me really knew. Hey, boy, he ain't right. Look at it. I wasn't deceiving nobody who knew God.
Amen.
People love us more than we think they do. Amen? All right. So he said, so then watch this now. Let me wrap this up. So the genuine experience of saving grace is followed by willingness to follow Christ. And one of the first things a person is willing to do is be baptized in water.
Amen.
Baptism. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 3. It's on the screen also. Now baptism, well, it says it here. Look at this. 1 Peter 3:21. And water is a picture of baptism. Water is what?
Picture.
So water is not baptism. Hear me now. Follow me. Because your first baptism is not water. When you are saved, you are baptized into Christ. Bible says it. You're baptized into Christ. That's why the Bible here says water is a picture of baptism. Water is not baptism. There is a water baptism, but that reflects, listen to me, being baptized in water is a reflection of being baptized into Christ. So you don't baptize people in water who've not been baptized into Christ. Is that clear?
Amen.
But how many folk get baptized? They want that barcode. They want a barcode? We baptized six today. What you did was you took like six dry devils and now they wet devils. That's kind of crude, but. I mean, the point is, if you baptize me in water, I've not been baptized into Christ through the grace of God working in me. The whole thing is inauthentic. The whole thing is a lie. See? So we need and we want to and we are thanking God that grace actually works. Amen?
Amen.
So he says this. Watch this. And the water is a picture of baptism now, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. Wow. It is effective because of the resurrection of Christ. Or grace. Oh, this is so good, y'all. I gotta watch my time. This is so loaded. This is loaded right here. Because this one verse here opens up to you the whole dynamic of an empowered life versus barcode religion. So then water does, it didn't say that the water now saves you. What he's saying, say water is a picture of baptism. What has saved you is your baptism into Christ.
Amen.
That's what saved you. And so then your response to that is, oh, if the Bible says baptize me in water, oh, by all means baptize me in water. In fact, whatever the Bible says, I'm now willing to do it. Because my heart has changed. My nature has changed. Want me to serve and preach and give whatever you want, Lord, because see, that grace is working in me now. And from an authentic, intrinsic place, I am willing to follow you. That's wonderful, isn't it? So our response is empowered by the grace of God. Please hear that. Our response to God is empowered by the grace of God, not of works. So that's why, you know, people say, you know, it's not of you, it's of God. Yeah, we know that. We know it's not of me. But don't act like, don't talk like this label I have can be different than the life I live. Amen, somebody. Don't talk and talk and talk and talk about what you have, who I am, and my life looks nothing like what I say I am. And that solution doesn't come about by me getting busy and doing stuff. No, it changes by letting grace come in. Let Jesus come in and have his way. He'll take it from there. All right, example, quick example. Barcode disciples. Luke chapter 9, all right? Barcode disciples. You'll see an example here. In Luke 9, I'm going to save some time on reading part of this. We can read from verse 51. And the story is they all went out ministering, and he sent messengers out, Christ did, of his disciples. And verse 54, and people weren't always receptive to what they had to say, okay? So when receptivity wasn't there, verse 54 says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? Wow. That's an interesting response. So people are not getting with the program. So my solution is, or their solution was, Lord, burn them up. Set them all on fire. And I'm talking about these are Jesus' disciples. There's some barcode action here, okay? People are, we disciples of Jesus. And so verse 55 says, but he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you're of. You got a barcode that scanned disciple. You don't know me at all. You actually are with me. You're walking around here with me and don't even know me. Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He showed mercy on them. But it shows, you know, even people, even walking with Jesus, you know, has no guarantee that a person will have the same spirit. See, so then, example of barcode disciples. They were content to be scanned, and they had the ideal in their immaturity. You know, I won't just condemn them. They're immature, but to somehow think the plan was, the next step is, that folk who don't follow us, set them all on fire. Burn them up. All right. So now let's read some scriptures in closing. Beneath the barcode. Say beneath the barcode. Beneath the barcode. So beneath the barcode is a changed product. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation. It brings salvation. See, it doesn't just relabel us. It doesn't just give us a label. Grace brings stuff. Grace brings. Grace will bring you. He says, the grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's right there in the Bible, see? So when people say that, grace ain't about performance or anything. No, it's not. But grace is about following Jesus. And if we have truly received the grace of God, the Bible says grace will teach us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, which means seriously, righteously and godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, beneath the barcode, the product, the package matches the label. Hebrews 13. Verse 9. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have profited those who have been occupied by them. Wife and I were on an Uber ride a couple of days ago. Actually, a Lyft. It's a Lyft ride. You know, Lyft, Uber, same thing. And we're just going home from. And so this guy, he's talking, you know, and he's running his mouth. I wish they wouldn't talk, you know, unless you're spoken to, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, but it's all right. And he's just talking, and I made him talking about horror movies, and have you seen this film? And no, I haven't seen that. You know, it's like Chainsaw Massacre. So, well, watch that kind of stuff, you know. He's just talking weird stuff, you know. Then I said something about, so I tried to cut him off in the past. Like, well, you know, I'm a follower of Christ. Well, he took off on that one. You know, say, hey, wait, hey, man, look, he said, I've been to hell and back. He saw Jesus. I guess he saw him in hell, you know. He just like, I thought to myself, man, he carried about with various and strange doctrines. I'm like, man, we're almost home, you know. Got this guy, I got time for this. I ain't got time for this guy. He was nice. Now, he did say he was a combat veteran from Iraq. So I honor him for that. Thank you for your service and got off on that. Hey, well, thank you. You know, I tried to, you know, just change that mindset. Maybe he got some, what's that post-traumatic thing? Maybe some of that going. I don't know what it was. I wasn't on an assignment to discern nobody. I'm trying to get home. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't trying to figure nothing out. So, but I thanked him. He was nice. I mean, he was actually a polite guy, you know. He just went off the rails on me. But I thought about this text here. It says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace and not with foods and other stuff, which have not profited those who have been occupied therein. And finally, look at Ephesians 4. I'm going to give you an assignment, really this entire chapter, but I'll take verse 4 and 7. But this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds. See, you don't have to walk that way, because grace is in you. That's why Paul wrote this to the churches. Not to make them go do something in their own strength, but to recognize what they already have. He says, don't walk as the Gentiles walk, in futility or emptiness and vanity of your mind. He says, having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God which is in them, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart. So don't be like people who are blind and who don't have a walk with God, don't know God. In alienation is a term of relationship, see? So that word is only used in connection to an absent relationship. So alienation is being departed from or separated from people that should be in your life. That's alienation. You know, when I leave my computer at home, that's not alienation, all right? I'm alienated. Why? My computer's at home. No, it's about people and God. People and God are the objects of this text that we as believers, through grace, we have with God a strong relationship. And because of that, as again Peter said, we then are good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And we also can minister and work and serve with the ability which God supplies. And so beneath the barcode is substance. Beneath the barcode is everything that the barcode scan says. Amen? Let's all stand.